We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, welcome back to Proof to Product. I'm your host, Katie Hunt, and today's hot seat features one of my longtime clients, Meg Sutton from Bell & Union. Meg has been in business for 8 years, and in that time, she has built a strong wholesale business, opened a brick and mortar retail shop in San Antonio, Texas, and she has done custom work when requested by her customers. But as this business has evolved and COVID has changed our economy, Meg is feeling unsure about where to focus her time and energy right now to really ensure long-term stability for the business. Now, this hot seat is different from our other hot seat podcast episodes in that it is just the starting point for Meg. This isn't a quick fix that we can solve in a 20-minute call, unfortunately. But as you'll hear, Meg shares openly about her income, her expenses, the challenges she's facing, and her goals. And she and I walk through the time, money, heart, and impact exercise that I teach within our Proof to Product Labs program. And this whole point of this exercise is to help her gain clarity. As you listen, I want you to keep a few things in mind. One, everyone's business is different. The challenges we face, the goals we're working towards, and the decisions that each of us make are going to look different. Our circumstances are different, right? Two, running a business means that we get to set the rules, but oftentimes that also means having to make very tough decisions. It's awesome to have tons of opportunity and that we can do anything we want to do, but it's also sometimes overwhelming. Three, having multiple streams of revenue in your business is challenging, and each tends to have a different customer. It requires different marketing and sales strategies, and it requires different support from you as the owner of your business. So while it's great to diversify and it is something I recommend for people, I want you to do it in a systematic way. And I only want you to have multiple revenue streams if that makes sense for your business. And lastly, I want to remind all of us to give ourselves a ton of grace right now. There are a lot of things that are completely outside of our control right now. And we personally need to make the best decisions that we can with the information that we have available to us right now. We can drive ourselves crazy thinking about all the what ifs and what if this happens and what if that happens. So just do your best to make the best decisions with the information you have available. I really hope you enjoyed today's coaching episode with Meg Sutton. She's certainly not alone in this challenge, and I hope that the advice and discussion here help you gain clarity in your own business.
Hey, Meg, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. I think I'm a little nervous.
Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous at all. Okay, you've been on the show a couple times already, but let's give everyone that's listening for the first time today a quick overview of who you are, your brand, and what you sell.
Sure. My name is Meg Sutton. I'm the boss lady and doodler at Bell & Union. I am I guess Proof to Product veteran back when it was TSBC, when it was a teleconference.
Yeah.
Way back in the day, even before webinars. I launched at the National Stationery Show in 2012. So let's see, 8 years ago now. And 2 years ago, we opened up our flagship brick and mortar shop.
Awesome. Well, I know today we're going to be talking about something that's been a constant topic inside of our Proof to Product Labs community for the last 2 months. We've been talking about our business models, diversifying revenue streams, and where we should be focusing our time and energy and our effort as we continue to propel our businesses forward. So why don't you tell everyone what you're working on and what you need help with right now?
Sure. So I have three main revenue streams, I would say. So I've got wholesale, retail, and then what I would consider custom. And custom can incorporate anything from wedding invitations to branding, that sort of thing. Anything really that just doesn't fall under those wholesale or retail umbrellas. I love having my shop, my brick and mortar here in San Antonio. But as those of you with shops know, it is an all-consuming thing. You can't really ever walk away because obviously the store is open all the time. Unless COVID, but that's a separate issue.
Right, right.
So I love having my shop. It definitely took my focus away from wholesale, which was kind of my main revenue, really since we launched, because we went straight to wholesale when I got started. We didn't really have like an Etsy or even an online shop at first.
Right.
So wholesale was my bread and butter. And then retail kind of shifted me away from that for a bit, which of course the grass is greener where you water it. But for me, I think retail brought a new challenge, which was exciting. And it brought some of my passions to the forefront that maybe I wasn't entirely sure how much I loved. Things like visual merchandising and just general curation between my brand and other complementary brands. So I've really kind of fallen in love with that part of it. And just that one-on-one relationship with the customers. You know, wholesale is great, but you're kind of this in the behind the scenes middleman, so to speak. So it's just a very different way of doing things, despite how intrinsically intertwined the two things are. Wholesale for me has definitely suffered in the last few years. Mm-hmm. We stepped back from using sales reps a few years ago. They were proving to be too expensive and very time consuming, but our numbers definitely dropped from not using them. And then with the shift to retail, wholesale just wasn't a priority.
Yeah.
Custom is just kind of a random thing that gets thrown in every now and then. It's not something I pursue actively by any means. And that's probably intentional because it is not my favorite.
Fair enough.
Clients are great, but they're a handful. So it's not my favorite.
Totally. Okay. So that was a really great overview of the different revenue streams that you're utilizing currently. For the purpose of this call, explain to me what you'd like to get out of this call.
Sure. So you talk a lot about time, money, heart, and impact, and just how those affect our businesses. And so I've really been digging into what that looks like for me. And the truth of the matter is those just don't line up the way that they should.
Okay.
At the end of the day, retail takes the most time. It definitely takes the most money.
Yeah.
But it also has my heart. So to have something that I love not financially be where it needs to be, it's a struggle. And then wholesale kind of falls underneath retail when I can get to it. So it still takes a lot of time, but I'm not necessarily nurturing it the way that I should. But I'm also not getting the financial gains out of it either. Custom doesn't usually take me much time, if I'm honest. And truthfully, it provides the most revenue mm-hmm. because it's not a product-based business, so to speak, in and of itself. It's truly just about my time.
Right.
So when I look at the financial picture overall, it looks like from a gross sales percentage that retail is the top and then wholesale and then custom's this little tiny piece. When you actually dive in and look at, okay, what is our net once we're taking out all of those expenses, where do things fall out? And
yeah,
it was a bit eye-opening to kind of do those numbers. I knew where we were, but to see it broken out on paper the way that I did for this was a little intense.
Yeah. Well, okay. So are you trying to simplify the business model and remove certain revenue streams, or do you just want to rethink implementing your time, where you're putting your time and effort? Do you think you want to keep all three, or are you looking to scale back here?
I would love to be able to scale back and not do things that I don't want to do, but I don't know that that's a reality right now.
Right. I get that just based on where the money lies and all that.
Yeah. Like based on where the money is, I should be throwing myself into custom work just to get the bills paid. But if I divert my time over there, then wholesale and retail are going to suffer and they're already not in a good place. So to like break it down, like super simple.
Yeah. Let's run through the numbers. Let's talk revenue let's do 2019 first of what okay. the revenue is for the wholesale, retail, and custom channels. And then I want to mention what the expenses, and we're talking in, guys listening, we're talking in percentages here just to keep some privacy. And really you can learn a lot from the percentages too, as to what we're looking at. So Meg, break it down for 2019, your revenue numbers.
Okay. So like my gross sales for 2019 revenue, wholesale accounted for about 30% mm-hmm. of my sales. Retail. And when I say retail, I mean specifically the brick and mortar.
Okay.
Was about 66.5%. Okay. So definitely the biggest chunk. And then custom was under 4%. So teeny little piece of the puzzle.
Okay. And then let's talk expenses for that same time period for each of those.
So expenses-wise, custom is 0%. There are no expenses related with it other than just my time. Mm-hmm. But for the sake of this, I'm not quantifying that.
Right.
Retail accounts for 80% of my expenses. And mostly that is rent and payroll. Okay. Those are by far the biggest expenses that I'm dealing with. And then wholesale is about 20%.
Okay. Now let's run through the time, money, heart, and impact just so I can get a sense of where you're at with everything. Looking at time first is, let's rank these on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being very time intensive and 1 being not very time intensive. How much time do you allocate to wholesale currently?
Wholesale, I would say, is probably in the middle, probably a 3.
Okay. What about retail?
Retail probably is a 5.
Okay. And custom work?
1.
Okay. Let's move over to money. We already know that retail is where the...
It's a 10.
It's a 10. Yeah. So we'll put a 5 for retail. We'll put a 3 for wholesale and we'll put a 1 again for custom just because of where your gross revenue fell. What about heart? Where's your heart? If we're again, scale of 1 to 5, 5 being the biggest impact or I'm sorry, the most excitement level for it.
I think retail is still going to take 5 for me just because it allows me to combine those different loves. I'm able to create product that's specifically for the shop. So I'm still creating. I can do the visual merchandising and all the curation. So I think it still has my heart. And back before the shop was officially open, I even said, if I could walk away from wholesale, I would.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I think that's telling.
That's very telling. Let's keep going through the heart and impact, and then we'll circle back to that because I want to dive into that a little bit more. Wholesale, heart-wise?
I mean, I still love it because it's what allows me to create. Mm-hmm. If I didn't have wholesale, I probably wouldn't be able to make as much from a product perspective as I do, just from a minimums perspective.
Right.
So maybe a 4.
Okay. And then what about custom?
1.
All right.
Clearly, I don't like custom.
Yeah. Okay. What about impact? Where do you feel like you are making the biggest impact in other people's lives, in your customers' lives, and two, in your own life? So wholesale, retail, custom.
A wholesale... It's really hard to say because you're kind of that behind the scenes person. I don't know that you're necessarily completely understanding the impact that you're having on the end user.
True.
So I'd probably put it still middle of the road, 3.
Okay.
Retail, I'd put at 5 just because I get to see and experience those stories. Just last week, I had a gentleman come in. And whenever a guy comes in, you know he's in trouble. So I asked him what he needed. He needed a birthday gift for his wife. So I helped him pull together this beautiful gift basket. 2 days later, I got a message from him on Facebook. And he said, I've been married for 34 years. And my wife said it was the most thoughtful gift I had ever given her.
Oh.
And that was just, I mean, I was like, wow, you really needed help. it made me feel good. And getting to experience those things in person is really incredible.
Yeah.
So we may just be selling cards and gifts, but we are making an impact on people's lives. And beyond that, having the brick and mortar allows me a platform to give back to the community.
Yeah.
Like, especially around the holidays, we do lots of give back events where a percentage of sales from that night go to a charity of whoever's hosting its choice.
Okay.
So things like that. So I would, yeah. Okay. The shop has my heart.
Okay. It sounds like it. What about custom work impact there? What do you feel like you drink that?
I'll give it a little more than I have been, probably a 2 or 3, just because when you're creating someone's brand, like obviously that is a big impact for them or with their wedding invitations. Like that's everything to them. So it does certainly have an impact.
Okay. I'm going to share my screen with you. And I know our audience can't see this, but you can see the little spreadsheet I put together to see this. And I'll recap for them here too. So your wholesale numbers worked out to about a 13, your retail worked out to a 20, and your custom worked out to about a 6, which tells me that you are really passionate and where you need to be focusing your time and effort is really in that retail arm. The fact that custom is so low at a 6, I would just say right now, take it off your website, stop doing it. If people ask you to do that type of work, I would encourage you to have kind of a roster maybe of other designers from our community or other people you know from our industry that you could refer out. And if there's something super special that you want to do there, then you can take the job, but I would think about maybe raising your prices to make it a more impactful. worth your time, I guess is what it is, because you ranked custom 1, 1, 1, and then I gave it a generous 3 on impact just because to get,
we felt bad
because I felt bad for custom. But you know, that just tells me that that's an area where you don't really enjoy it. It's not really bringing in the money and it's not taking a ton of your time, but it is a distraction, right? And anytime we have any sorts of distractions, that does pull us from the main focus that we need to be working on. So I would encourage you to either remove custom altogether from what you offer, and maybe it's just a referral thing, or if you want to take one project a month or one project a quarter, like set some boundaries around what that looks like and perhaps even raise your prices so that you know the work you are doing there is going to be, you're going to be compensated well for it. So it's going to feel like it's worth the time to do it because it will be pulling your attention from other things. The fact that you said wholesale is something you would gladly get rid of, I am based on these numbers, I think you could go either way. I think you could stop wholesaling altogether and put all of your eggs in the retail basket if you wanted to. But I know that your expenses are, like, your profit margin is better on wholesale than it is on retail. And so it's tough because if you were to go all in on retail, we would have to find a way to lower your expenses. And we'd also have to find a way to diversify your revenue, which I know you've already started to do. For example, you have your online shop that people can sell through, and that's through like direct to consumer still, even though it's online. You have been hosting workshops and things in your studio space and in your shop, and so that's diversifying too. So I think there are other ways we could build out revenue in the retail arm of your business. And then in terms of reducing expenses, I mean, that's another separate hard conversation because your two main expenses there are payroll and then your space. And so I think it would either require you spending more time to reduce payroll so you're not having to pay other people, or maybe perhaps moving your space to a less expensive location. But I know you've put so much time and energy into this space. And so I don't even know if that's a possibility. What are your thoughts just hearing that?
I mean, you're right. Those payroll and rent are by far my two biggest expenses. I mean, if you want to get real with numbers, my rent is over $100,000 a year.
Yeah, that's significant.
It's very significant. The area that we're in, while it is a nice established development, has not been what we were promised by any means. And quite frankly, the landlords are not nice people. So a lesson learned is make sure your landlords are always local, because then they're going to actually care about you and your community. Mm-hmm. My landlords are some conglomerate in, you know, Boston or something. Like, they're not invested in San Antonio and our growth. And so that's been tough. We had submitted a proposal to reduce our rent prior to COVID, because we figured we have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
And then COVID hit. We were able to We deferred our rent for 3 months. So what that means is, while it kind of helped a little bit while we were closed, the truth of the matter is that money's going to come due.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it helps now, but will hurt later, unfortunately. And later for me is July. So it's pretty much upon me just about. So, you know, we tried, now that businesses are starting to open back up in Texas, we resubmitted that proposal, kind of reiterating, look, we had sent this before COVID. COVID has just exacerbated the problem.
Yeah.
And they're not willing to negotiate at all.
Okay. How do you feel about the space itself? I mean, would you be open to moving to a different space that was less expensive? When's your lease up, by the way?
So we have we negotiated down from the standard 10-year commercial lease to 5 years.
Okay.
But then I took it a step further and negotiated a early release at three years, which is July of 2021. So just over a year for me. And pretty much no matter what, I'm getting out. I love my space. It's beautiful. But the reality is I can't afford it. The sales just don't support it. And it's a huge space. So it's not just the brick and mortar, like our wholesale operations are here too.
Yeah.
And so it's a very large space. And when you're paying per square foot, every foot hurts.
Totally.
In this instance. So we're already looking about moving, if that's a possibility. Staying is not.
Okay. Do you think you want it to be another retail storefront space, or are you thinking you want it to be more of a studio space? Because that's also going to change the direction you take the business going forward.
Yeah. the truth of the matter is I'd love to be able to purchase my own space because I don't think it's realistic to be paying rent to a landlord and be able to make any money. The problem is San Antonio doesn't have a lot of areas that make sense for retail outside of developments like what I'm in. So it makes it a little more complicated. So pretty much no matter what I do next, it's going to be some type of destination.
Okay.
So, and I kind of, even when I opened 2 years ago, went into this knowing, okay, we'll spend the time of the lease establishing our community. So that way, when we do move, we have that already built.
Yeah.
And that will be okay. So I'm not entirely sure what it looks like. I don't think it'll be true retail in the sense of being in a shopping center.
Okay. Well, I think, okay, so there's a lot of transitions coming up. In terms of your question for today of where do you focus your time and energy and effort, I think wholesale and retail are the two areas that I would tell you to continue working on just because there's so many unknowns in your business for the next year or so of what you want to be doing. I think you need to, so in terms of homework, I would tell you that I want you to, and you've already been doing this, but maybe in a more formalized way, think about what you want. Like do some vision planning, bigger picture vision planning of what do you want this business to look like in 5 years, in 3 years? What do you want your days, your personal days to look like in 3 or 5 years? You know, it's one thing to be manning the shop all day and running workshops and things like that. It's another to be working behind the scenes on wholesale orders and things like that, right? So which of those are you most drawn to and how do you want your day-to-day life to look? So those are two things I would like you to do. I would also like you to take a look at where, and I know you've been doing this too, but I just want to reiterate where we can cut expenses, where we can shrink things down. I also want you to do a little bit of forecasting. So like when you move out of this space, what kind of is the max budget that you have for the next space? And what do you want that space to look like? You don't need to know where it is or how you're going to set it up quite yet, but kind of what is your loose budget for that you feel comfortable investing in real estate, whether you're buying or whether you're renting or whatever it might be. But I ultimately want you to think about where can we drive additional revenue to the business? And then where can we get our expenses down even further from where they're at right now? Because that's going to increase your profit margin and it's going to make you feel a little more secure with whichever revenue streams you decide to stick with. I do think based on your answers here, I think custom is something that you need to just stop. And that I say that with love because I know it's hard. Or again, like I said earlier, raise the prices. I think wholesale is still a significant amount of what you do. It's still 30% of your revenue and your expenses are lower. So your profit margins are higher. So I wouldn't cut that altogether anytime soon. But I do think as you start to evolve this a little bit more and get a sense of where you want to be spending your time and how you can get your expenses down and your revenue up, I think there is a lot of potential for you on the retail side if you move this brick and mortar shop to another area where there's less overhead and maybe you're doing more classes or you're pushing more retail direct to consumer. You know, there's different things that we could do there to focus your time on generating more money. But for right now, you have a strong wholesale following. You have the orders coming in even without using the sales reps and going to shows and things like that. So let's keep that running like on, I don't want to say cruise control, but kind of keep it going on cruise control and keep the marketing engine going until you figure this out. Because right now, it's hard to make these concrete decisions right now because there's so many unknowns, right? You don't know what your landlords are going to do. We don't know what COVID's going to do in terms of how people can reopen and when people are going to be spending more money. We don't know what the economy is going to do right now. So I want you to focus on the things that are working well right now and that also have your heart, but I also want you to have the backup plans, which is I kind of view wholesale right now as your backup plan, so to speak. And not that it's, I mean, I know it's a core part of your business and you spend a lot of time on it. So I don't mean to say it's an afterthought, but the retail.
I mean, that's what's allowing new product to come out.
And I think too, you mentioned earlier, you know, wholesale lets you play and develop new stuff. And I think you could absolutely do that on the retail side too. I know the minimums are different and you do a lot of, you know, you've created your own, you know, production methods and manufacturing opportunities. So that's a little more difficult with the volume you're talking about. But I do think you could still play on the retail side and still develop new product that's just sold direct to consumer if that's what you choose to do.
We've started to. It was because I was so wholesale focused when I opened the store, I didn't necessarily think about what the person coming through my shop doors is looking for.
Yeah.
Pretty much they want Texas everything. Like that's just state pride. I mean, I get it. So I had to quickly develop like custom art prints for the shop of like the Alamo and the San Antonio Riverwalk, things that I would have never done from a wholesale perspective, but they're some of our best sellers in the shop.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
that might, that might be an area that you want to expand too, as things. I think right now we kind of need to lean into the things that are already working for you. We need to simplify what you're offering. We need to cut down on expenses where we can. And then we need to be patient and see where things go. And that's so hard for me to do, to be patient. I want to like.
I'm terrible at being patient.
I know. Me too, girl. So I just, I would encourage you like, keep looking at these numbers, keep reviewing your finances. You know, I would even do quarterly for you just because your business is more seasoned and you have the data points.
And then,
okay, good. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that too. I look at my numbers monthly, but I know for a lot of people, you know, they prefer less than that. So, or less frequently than that.
I prefer less, but you know, at the end of the day, I got to stay on top of it.
Of course. Of course. Okay. So just to recap your homework, I want you thinking about what you want your days to look like. I want you thinking about what brings you joy and in the same vein, but like, what would, if you could construct your ideal day, your ideal format for this business, the ideal location for it, kind of start doing some vision planning around what you want that to be. Because I think that'll help to formulate which of these revenue streams should be more of your focus. And it is possible to do both wholesale and retail. We have dozens and dozens, hundreds of people in our industry doing it. But I do want to acknowledge that it is like running separate businesses. And I just want to give you kudos for that, because having a brick and mortar retail, selling online, those are even two different, you know, strategies for marketing and business. And then having wholesale on top of it and custom, you're essentially running four different businesses there. And that's a lot for a small business to handle. So if we can simplify those things and give you less details to focus on, like you said, where you water will grow. And so you can continue to develop and grow the areas that are most meaningful to you and will make the biggest impact in your business and for your clients too. How's that feel?
Like I have homework.
Well, it's not, this is not, you know, when we talked about doing this hot seat before we started recording, I said to you, this is not the type of hot seat where I can give you a, here's what you need to do. And, you know, here's the answer and the solution all in one shot. This is going to be an ever evolving thing that you're going to need to reflect on personally, as well as for the business. And it will come together, but I think you're heading in the right direction. You've got the data points, you're thinking through the right things, you've got the right mindset for it, and you're open to change, which is a big thing. I think so often, especially when we get to the point in our business where you are, where you're seasoned, you've been doing this for a long time, it's hard to make those shifts sometimes. And it's hard to pick our head up and be like, wait, am I heading in the direction that I really want this business to go in? So I applaud you for taking the time to do it and for being brave and sharing these percentages and just where you're headed with your business here on the show, because this is a struggle. You're not alone in this struggle. This is something that many of my mastermind clients are working on. I work on personally in my own business. It's just, it's where are we going from here and what do we want to focus on? And the beauty of it is we get to control it, right? We get to set the rules. We get to decide. But the difficult part is that we've been doing this for so long. And how do we, it feels like such a big shift, you know? It feels like, am I still doing things right? You know, so
difficulty is that we are in charge. So it's on us.
Exactly. There's so many opportunities that it's like, oh my gosh, it's overwhelming, right? So it's kind of a catch 22 there, but you're on the right track. You're doing the right things. This is going to be something that you're going to have to continue to nurture over time. And maybe we can do another check-in about this in 6 months or so and see where you're at there and where your head's at.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, girl. Well, where can people find you online to check out your online shop and all the different products you offer?
Sure. So our website is bellandunion.com. We're most active on Instagram if you want to follow us there at Bell and Union Co. And if you're ever in San Antonio, come see us in the quarry.
Awesome. Thanks, Meg.
Thank you.
All right, friends. I hope you enjoyed this coaching call with Meg Sutton of Bell and Union. As I shared in our intro, many experienced business owners are facing a similar struggle to what Meg is working on right now. They are wondering whether they should be focusing their time, energy, and money in different areas or whether they should be staying the course in what's working well right now. So while your business may look different than Meg's, I hope that the advice and the conversation here were helpful to you. If you are looking for more support in your business, if you're making changes to your business model, or you're considering other revenue streams right now, I want to invite you to join us in Proof to Product Labs. It is my 12-month group coaching program that was built specifically for product-based business owners. If you want more information or you want to enroll, head over to prooftoproduct.com/labs. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'll be back next week with a new episode.